Good morning. It's 11:06, and you're listening to the Dr. Triana Show on News Radio 1580 WCCF, the Triana Prevention Center, located at 3155 Harbor Boulevard, Suite 100 in Port Charlotte. Call today for an appointment at 941-625-1990. Once again, that's 941-625-1990. Our phone numbers here at the studio, 1-888-441-1580, or locally at 206-1580. Once again, that's 206-1580. Call if you have a question or a comment at any point during the program. And now, our host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning, everyone. Good morning. Oh my gosh, what a treat. Today we have an icon.
Free donuts and cupcakes.
We have an iconic radio star our guest. Yes, yes.
Oh, you're making me blush.
No, come on. Chuck Britton. Anybody who listens to WCVU, I just love that.
But you notice you said my name and there was no applause? I heard crickets.
Well, we need to, not only do we need to applause, but we need to do an homage to you He is an iconic radio star. Not only that, he's on WCVU 104.9, Breakfast with Britton.
Every weekday morning, Monday through Friday, without fail.
Now, doesn't he have the most gorgeous voice, ladies and gentlemen?
The greatest radio voice that I've ever heard. Seriously. And I've been doing this 30 years. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. It's
paid the bills for more than a few decades. I'll put it to you that way. I tried hanging drywall.
Really?
Yeah, I was a mutter. I was a hanger. I fell down two flights of stairs with my stilts. Never dropped my spackle.
In Chicago?
Yeah. Well, I was in between careers, you know.
Okay.
Which happens a lot in radio. You got to have a plan B, you know. See, my 401k really is either the Powerball or any lottery ticket. Or anybody out there who, you know, needs somebody to put on their will. Keep me in mind, please. It's a very transient business, this is. Okay, it's been that way, since the beginning, since I got into it, right after radio was invented by Thomas Edison.
So tell me, I would love to hear, how did you start in this? Because, I mean, did you always have such a beautiful voice?
No, a lot of bourbon.
How old were you when you started?
I had an uncle who had a great voice. And I guess I inherited, it was my sister's brother. He was a cool guy. And I think I inherited it from him. But I never, you know, like every kid, I grew up listening. And I knew back in the days, this is when you knew who your favorite DJ was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's like one show ends, the other show goes in. You know, there's no separation. Each jock or person, I like to consider myself an air personality, had its own individual show.
Right.
Okay? And I was in high school and, of course, you know, had a band like every high school kid did, a little garage band, because chicks dig guitar players. And
won't go into why.
And we were gonna cut a demo. And I asked this friend of mine who I knew, he did all the school announcing at all the assemblies. He was the voice of, you know, and he had a great voice. And I said to him, I said, do you know where we can cut a demo? And he said, yeah, well, you can do it at this little FM station I work at. And so one Friday night, we lugged all of our equipment into the studio, all the amplifiers and guitars and stuff and the drums. And I see him in the studio and the light comes on air and he's talking over the music and stuff and everything. And I was watching him do this. And I said, do you get paid for doing this? And he says, yeah. And I went, well, this could work.
Cool.
Because I wanted to be a television director. That was my goal. And I was going to college at the time. Now, of course, this is back in the 60s when Uncle Sam was looking for a lot of young guys like me.
I wonder, where did they go? I know where they went.
Well, yeah.
They served their country.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were a veteran.
Oh, yes, I am a veteran and proud of it now. But I was transferring from a junior college to Northwestern Illinois University, where they had a great communications department. And, I don't know. I figured it out that when I told the girl to send my transcripts to Northern Illinois, she sent a notice to the draft board the same day saying I was no longer in attendance. So I lost my 2S and I got the letter. Greetings, you know. And so then it all just, it just got nuts for a while.
Now, you said you landed in Vietnam on the day of your birthday?
Yeah, my 21st birthday. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, actually, it was about 20 to midnight, so I had about 20 minutes left of my 21st birthday. So I laid underneath the C-130. It was completely dark out, singing happy birthday to me, watching all the bombs going off in the distance, like fireworks. You know, it was very surrealistic. It really was. But
how long were you there for in Vietnam?
In Nam, I was there for 14 months, and I was in Okinawa for 2 months prior to my trip over there, and then 2 months returned before I returned back home. And I returned home to Chicago during the Democratic Convention when things were just nuts in 68. So, I mean, it was beatniks when I left, and it was hippies when I came back. You know, and coming through Travis Air Force Base in San Francisco was just a gut-wrenching experience because, you know, my buddy had left before I, and he said, you know, when you get to Travis, take your civvies with you and don't wear your uniform out of the airport. And that just really crushed me. It really did, you know. It was a rough time. But then I got, when I was stateside, I was working on the flight line on C-130s, and I just kind of flipped out. I lost it because I went to my commanding officer and I finally said, look, I've got another year and a half or almost 2 years to go, and I'm tired of working on airplanes. And I mean, I love to fly, but not what I was doing. And so I was able to transfer to American Forces Radio and Television Service. So they sent me to school in Indianapolis at Fort Benjamin Harrison. And then I went back to Fort Bragg, Pope Air Force Base in Fort Bragg, and I was working for the communications office for about 2 months and really enjoying it, wearing my Class A uniform, getting respect, you know. And then all of a sudden I got a notice. The captain called me and said, guess what? You have to go to Alaska for the remainder of your tour. And I'm like, why? He said, well, we don't need you in the States because, you know, we have, you know, commercial DJs and we need you up there and up in Galena Campy in Alaska. Which, if you've got a map, boys and girls, you'll find us 120 nautical miles from Siberia. The northern.
I would say must be a little cold.
Very, very cold. I mean, I'm talking 65 below zero.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, it was cold, but we had a lot of fun, and we used to broadcast radio and TV to all the troops and all the sites and all the bases up there in remote Alaska. So we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We had this one. Now, see, I was the director. I didn't want to go on camera. I thought that was boring. I liked calling the shots.
But did you do the radio part, the voice part?
Oh yeah. Well, we did block programming, and we did middle of the road. We did easy listening. We did jazz, and then we did top 40. And I got the top 40 block. So I did 3 hours of top 40 every day on the radio, and then I used to direct the news at night. But I noticed we had it's the amazing how the strangest things catch on, because we had all these Eskimos who worked on the base and who lived in Galena. These are people who are basically banned from their tribe. Okay, they're nice folks, but you know, they get a little liquored up, and you don't want to say nothing nasty to them, or you're going to get hurt. Anyway, they were our audience, right?
Right.
And I noticed we had this old couch underneath the podium, which you could not see. And we had this old one-eyed, three-legged cat, Lucky, seriously, who was just looking up at the camera, you know, a goofy-looking cat. And I said to my buddy, I said, pan down on the closing credits, pan down and zoom in on Lucky. So he did. So that became our trademark. And when we'd sign off the news, we'd zoom in on Lucky. You know, and so it was amazing because when we opened had a tour of our studios and everything, we were in a big hangar. All the natives, they all wanted to know where Lucky was at.
Oh,
they didn't care about us or meeting us or nothing. It was just they wanted to see the cat. But it's amazing how strange things catch on. And then I came back to the States in 70. I got my degree at Cal State. I only had, you know, a couple quarters left to do. And then I embarked on my first job, you know. And it wasn't with television. I ended up, you know, working in radio.
In radio.
Yeah, so it's been radio ever since.
That is really interesting that you, the way that, I love the way that sometimes, you know, God puts us in different directions. And because of that direction, we end
got
up.
Got an Uncle Sam. I know what you mean. Yeah.
So how did you end up in Chicago then?
Oh, that was pure. Well, I was going to say luck, but no, I believe you make your own luck. Luck to me, the definition of luck is when talent and opportunity meet. And, you know, I started out at a little 500-watt daytime station in the middle of a cornfield in Rantoul, Illinois. And then from there, I went to WSOI, Decatur, Illinois. From there, I went to Augusta, Georgia, with the middle of the road station, and then but the top 40 station hired me. And it was my first top 40 station. And the first song I played on the air was Brandy by Looking Glass. And I remember, this is it. This is my format. This is my music. I'm home. And I had a real good job there. And I also did I was also the weather guy on the local NBC affiliate. So I did the mornings at WBBQ FM and AM. And then I did the 6 o'clock weather on the local NBC TV affiliate.
That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. I did my audition. The day I did my audition, it was raining and the roof was leaking. So I had an umbrella out of my trunk and I'm sitting there at the podium doing the weather with rain coming down on me. It was hilarious. I got the gig. And then from there, I went on to Phoenix. And just, you know, it's like the old Steve Miller song from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to Tacoma, Philadelphia, Atlanta, L.A. You know, and at the same time, you're trying to raise a family. You're trying to keep a wife happy, unless you're single, and then you got no problems. But otherwise, it's difficult packing up roots and moving from state to state and town to town.
Kind of like being in the military, then.
Yeah, and I think my military was the reason I was able to just pack up and go without, you know. I have to give it to my ex-wife, bless her heart, because, you know, I would just basically just jump on the airplane and head to my next state, and it was up to her to get the movers and all the kids and everything else, you know. To our new home. But I've seen a lot of the country. I've worked in a lot of markets. And the opportunity just presented itself. I left Jacksonville and I went back to Chicago. I was doing mornings at Y103 in Jacksonville, I think in 89. And I went back to Chicago and a buddy of mine hired me at the Loop in Chicago. And I was the image director then. So I won the Windy Award from the Chicago Advertising Council for a promotion campaign, a summer campaign I did for the radio station. And that's when WLS took a look at me and made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Because that's Zane, didn't you say it's one of the biggest stations?
Absolutely. I mean, anybody who's anybody in radio knows about LS.
Yeah, and you're working with some of the best in the business, so you cannot slack off. You've got to be on your toes. And it's the station that lets you do. John Guerin was our program director, our program director. he was a guy who taught me a lot. I've had a lot of good mentors, you know, throughout my entire career, and John was one of them. And the first night, you know, I keyed the mic on WLS was a Friday night, knowing I'm covering like 38 states at night, and this is before the internet. You know, you're covering
38 states.
Oh yeah, 38 states we covered. Clearly, you could pick us up in Nashville, clear as a bell.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Even down to Florida, you could get WLS because it was a clear channel. There was no other radio station on that frequency, 890.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was a good. It was a good time.
That is.
And
wonderful.
My studio was right next to Paul Harvey's. So
Paul Harvey.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Good old Paul.
That is really great.
And yeah, he was a trip.
So, is that, what are they, I know in your bio, and I said, it says that you're
just
an old
Google
school
me.
DJ. What does that mean?
Just Google me.
What does old school DJ mean?
Well, I am old school in the sense that, you know, I mean, when I began this, we were spinning records, slip queuing records. I mean, you literally walked out of the studio with a sweat.
You were actually the records you had to put them on.
You had to take the record out of the shuck, put it on the whether it's a 45
turntable
or a 33 on the turntable, and you have to slip cue it, Basically, what that means is the turntable is going while your hand is just holding the record still, and then you just, when you intro the song, you just let go of the record. Sometimes you'd wow it in, and, you know, yeah. And then we went to cartridges, which was real nice. We just
until they
insert,
broke.
Yeah.
What do you mean by cartridges? Like
they were like an eight track tape. They looked like.
I remember those 8-track.
And each song, each commercial, your imaging, your all that jingles, whatever. They're all on cartridges, and that was a lot easier than records. And then of course, then we went to CDs. And the first time I saw a CD was a friend of mine, Jeff Davis. He's got a very successful voiceover business, and he's also an actor in Los Angeles. But Jeff had been there for years, and he showed me a CD. He says, "What do you think of this?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a compact disc." He said, "This will replace albums." I said, "No, it won't." He said, "Yes, it will." I said, "If people pay $12.95 for an album, they want pictures. You know, they want, you know, you got a little, you got a little thing the size of a saucer." But I was wrong. CDs took over, and the albums are gone. But albums, the vinyl is coming back. And
why?
Why
are they coming back?
That's life. Life is cycles. Big cycles, small cycles. Disco even came back. I really believe that. Life is just cycles. Whether it's a big cycle or a small cycle, everything goes around and comes around again in a different way, or maybe in the same form.
There are some purists that think album has a different sound.
It does have a better sound quality than digital. Yeah.
And different in sound. Yeah.
But, you know, we were talking before we came on the air at my desk about my feelings about computers and being at the mercy of a computer, because, you know, people don't realize that every song that we play and all the commercials we play, they're all in the hard drive. They're on a computer. And I'm looking at this bank of computer screens. And like I said, you know, a computer is like a relationship. When it's working well, it's really good. But when it's not, you want to call an attorney and get me out of this.
And it costs a fortune.
Because if, you know, I do a music show in the morning, a music show. I pride myself on my ability to balance the music. You know, but I need to play a lot of good tunes, and I'm lucky because I have four decades, you know, 50s through the 80s. That's 40 years of great music, R&B, rock and roll, classic rock, you know, the classics from Sinatra to Dean. Dean, I love Dean Martin. You know, and Engelbert, Hunker Down. Plus, you know, we get to play classic rock. So it's a good balance. You know, I just have to keep the balance. You know, you don't want it too intense, too much, or too laid back, too long. You know, you got to balance it. But I'm fortunate, you know, that they let me do the show the way I want to do it.
So you actually sit down and make the whole plan of every song, every minute?
99.9% of the time, I'm picking the songs, and depending on my mood or how I feel. And hopefully the listener feels the same way. And I know they do, because I get a lot of positive emails.
Oh, yeah.
And for all those people that send me the emails, thank you. They are read, every one of them. Yeah.
And I love the way you say Breakfast with Britain. I think that's really nice.
Well, yeah, it's got to be catchy, you know. Usually it's like Murphy in the morning, and I didn't want to go with Britain in the morning. So I thought Breakfast Britain, you know, about it. It's got to be easy. It's got to be something people can remember. And, you know, it tells what the show's all about, really.
Do you then, when you do your show, do you plan the day before? Or is it at that moment you say, you know, I feel this kind of mood. Let me play this song.
The music I do the day of the show, okay? But the content in between, during our breaks, going into a commercial break or whatever, things I talk about, those are all pre-planned. So I know what I'm going to be saying at every break. Just about. Yeah.
That's for how many hours is that?
Well, it's only three. It's a very quick shift. It really is. Yeah.
It is considered a quick shift?
Yeah, for me it is, yeah. But then you got to remember, you know, I'm also from the era where DJs worked like two-hour shifts. But, you know, back then you worked, you know. Of course, in the major markets, you had an engineer that did all the work for you. You just basically sat there with a red button and pushed the button, you know, to turn your mic on, turn your mic off, or you had a cough button. And, you know, but here we do everything. Well, the computer does everything.
The computer.
Back in the 70s, we did everything. I mean, literally, there were times you would literally walk out of the studio just sweating and tell the next guy, top that. when everything just went together, it all gelled. And music is so very important to people's lives.
And
it really
we have
is.
A caller. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi. What's your
you
name?
You know, this gentleman not only has the best voice, I agree with my daughter. He is a comic. He's so funny.
Hi, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
No. I enjoy him. Listen,
thank you, dear.
Ask him, though, since I do estate sales, people are collecting the big long playing, but they mostly like the 45. Why?
I don't know. I've found that they like the albums. The albums retain more value, especially if they're in a good cover. You know, the cover's not all damaged, water damage or whatever. But I find most of them are going with the 33 and a third, the big ones.
Yeah, but do they? They're calling them vinyl, aren't they?
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Lately, I used to when I did the sales, I used to have to dump them.
What kind of sales do you do?
Estate sales.
Okay. All right.
So, but now people are wanting them and they buy them.
Yeah, hang on to them because they're worth money. I had a very strange phone call when I was working in Tampa. I was doing afternoons at the country station, and this gentleman had called me, and he was at a church bazaar. They had a sale.
Yeah, garage sale.
Yeah, garage sale at the local church. And it was a box of reel-to-reel tapes in there. And he bought them to use for his own personal consumption, I guess. And he decided before he recorded over them, he was going to listen to them. And he's listening to these things, and it sounded like it was exactly like Patsy Cline. And it turned out it was a recording of her very last concert the night she died.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the quality was not that good because whoever made them just had one microphone off the side of the stage by the speaker monitor, you know. But it was there. It was history. And he called Nashville several times trying to get them to believe him, and they wouldn't. And so finally one guy said, okay, you fly down here at your own expense, and we'll take a look at him and listen to him. And they did, and it turned out to be the real deal. And he flew back first class with a real fat check in his pocket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's just a box that he paid a couple dollars for at a church bazaar.
Yeah, I get those, too. did you know Charlie Jew?
Yeah, I worked with Charlie. Sure, I replaced Charlie in the mornings.
But did you know him personally?
Yes, Charlie was a great guy. I love the man and his wife Beverly too. And it was a great loss.
Like an institution here.
Yeah, he was. And also, you know, we're finally getting the air show back here in Punta Gorda. Thank goodness. Charlie was an avid pilot, as am I, and Charlie was the voice of the air show for years. And it's coming back in October, and I'm glad. I hope they do a tribute, some kind of a tribute for Charlie.
That's beautiful.
Well, yeah. Dr. Katzen was one of the original sponsors of the air show, too.
Okay, all right.
I remember that.
Okay.
That was my husband.
Nice talking to you.
Oh,
okay.
You too, dear.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye,
darling.
Mom. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Hello, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's your name, sweetheart?
Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Look, I was listening to him about records. I collect records. I have over 345,
that's
over
a,
378.
That's a lot of weight.
How many 33 and a thirds. But some of my 45s have gotten very valuable because back when these particular artists first came out, the larger black people didn't have a machine that played 45, only 78, and I found out because they made less 45s, they seem to be worth more.
Well, I don't know. I mean, as a teenager, that's all I could afford was 45s. So, you know, you had to put that little plastic disc in the middle. But I couldn't really afford an album until I was in high school and actually had a job. Until then, I bought my 45s, I think, for about 98 cents. I don't know what they were. But, yeah, that's a lot of weight you're carrying around. Do you keep them indoors? Because you've got to.
I bought a big cabinet that will cover most all the records. And then those little storage containers you buy in the store that slide in and out. I've got a lot of records in there.
Yeah, I get all mine from Walmart.
Well, thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate the call. We're going to take a quick little break.
And when we return, we're going to find out what is a libido and where's mine.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified BioT physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the BioT website. That is BioTEmedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with BioT. Call me at 941-625-1990 for your appointment.
All right, it's back to the Dr. Triana Show as we're rocking you on this Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Elizabeth Triana, along with special guest Chuck Britton.
And the hits just keep on coming.
I know this is definitely going to be one that we're going to have to listen to again. This is so good.
Music truly calms the wildest beast of the heart. I mean, I'm serious because, you know, sometimes, well, listeners will... You know, asking me about a particular oldie, you know, usually it's a song from the 50s or very early 60s. But I get a lot of my ideas for songs that I'm always adding to our library. And I get them from TV commercials.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because you notice lately they've started using a lot of classic, you know, R&B or, you know, rock songs from the 50s and 60s in the car commercials. Mickey and Sylvia, you know, Love is Strange. I heard that on a car commercial. I went, oh, yeah, we need to add that. And all of Dion's stuff. When I first came here, the only Dion song we had was Abraham, Martin, and John. And I said, well, you know, what about Run Around Sue, Teenager in Love? And, you know, so I added all the Dion, all the Fats Domino songs. So many times I play a song and I try to remember what state of mind I was in. Like I mentioned Brandy, every time I play Brandy, I think about, you know, it takes me back to Augusta, Georgia, my first taste of the South, because I'm originally from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first Red Lobster, my first grits. My first fried chicken, my first barbecued pig in the ground. You know, and I made a lot of friends there, you know, and I still have a special place in my heart for Augusta, Georgia. I really do. It was a great town.
Well, you know, being a doctor, I am trying to help people learn about their bodies and their health.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly, like last week, I had the maestro from the symphony.
I love that guy.
Wasn't that a great show?
I have trained him. I've groomed him. You know, when I first heard that I've got the conductor of a symphony coming in to interview, I'm like, really? This is about 2 years ago. And I was, you know, I'll be honest with you. I thought some stuffed shirt dude was going to come in that I could not relate to. And I cannot handle interviewing people that I don't know what they're talking about. But he was cool. I like him.
I really liked him. He was great. But really, music does heal your soul.
He loves it.
But music, not just symphony music. Yeah. The music that you play, the music that you have been brought up, the famous stars. Just tell us. Like, I know I'm a little bit of a starstruck. What stars have you met that you enjoyed the most?
Oh, I'm glad you said
as people.
I'm glad you said the most.
As people, because I'm sure you might have been starstruck.
No. The only one I was really starstruck, and I mentioned it this morning because it's his birthday, is my green-eyed soul brother from another mother. I'm talking about Smokey Robinson.
Oh, wow.
And I was when I was working at LS, Wolfman Jack and I did Oh Baby. we did the Dick Clark rock tour cavalcade, you know. We were in the Holiday Star Theater in Indiana, and I'm sitting on the couch next to Smokey Robinson. You know, and they don't like it when you gush over them. I know that.
Oh, no, I know.
That's They're one human. Of the things when I was living in Nashville. I'd be sitting in this one bar/restaurant where we always used to hang out when I got off the air doing mornings. And in walks Kris Kristofferson, B.J. Thomas, and, who else? God bless the USA. Hello.
Lee Greenwood,
thank you.
God bless the USA.
Yeah,
it's
Lee Greenwood.
You know.
And it's just, that's what I loved about Nashville, because you never know who you're going to meet. But anyway, getting back to Smokey, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm trying not to gush over the guy, but I was like, good grief, you know. And then Smokey, you know, and of course Wolfman speaks, hey, Smoke, you got any herb? Easy, Wolf. But Bob Seger, great guy. Wow, I don't know. Linda Ronstadt, in her prime, she was like my first love.
Oh,
we had her
voice.
when I was doing mornings in Phoenix. It was Linda, Jackson Brown, and Eric Clapton. Unfortunately, it was Eric's party days, and I had to go out and tell about 25,000 people. It was an outdoor concert that Eric wasn't coming.
Did you get stoned?
Huh?
Did you get stoned?
No.
I meant that people try to kill you?
Oh, that kind of.
That's what I meant.
Well, yeah, they weren't happy.
Not the other, I'm sorry.
I made it perfectly clear. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't shoot the messenger, but we have some problems and Eric will not be performing tonight, but Linda has agreed to come back on stage with Jackson Brown and rock you into the evening, into the morning. And if you'd like, you can get your tickets back. If not, we invite you to stick around and party. And, we'll get Eric back one of these days, weeks, months, or whatever. But that was a very scary night. It really was going out on stage. Bruce Springsteen, when I brought him on stage in Milwaukee, and then we had a bomb threat.
Bruce Springsteen? You met Bruce Springsteen?
Yeah.
That is cool.
And, well, this story is a long one, but anyway, it turned out to be a good evening. There was no bomb, but we had to clear the theater. But Bruce was so cool because he told everybody. I introduced him, and he was playing an acoustic guitar, and then he was, going to bust in with the E Street Band. And halfway through his very first song, the fire marshal said, we need to clear the auditorium with the promoters. They're going, what are we going to do? And I said, well, do not. He said, I'm going out there. I said, no, you're not. You are not going out there. I said, let him finish his song, and I'll make the announcement. And so Bruce finished his song, and I'm walking out, and Bruce is looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, listen, brother, it's a first for me, I whispered. I said, well, we got a bomb threat. We have to clear the auditorium. It was an old movie theater. This is before Bruce made the front cover of Time Magazine, Newsweek, and all that. You know, I mean, he was breaking. He was starting to break, but he wasn't the boss yet. And so the record guys were going crazy because it was in the winter and we had to empty the whole theater. And normally you party after the concert, but we all went back at the Pfister Hotel and we partied before the concert. And I'll never forget, Clarence Clemons, Miami Steve Van Zandt, and the guys in the band carrying Bruce out the door on their shoulders. It was hilarious. We loaded in the limousine, and as we pulled up next to the movie theater, a line. Oh, Bruce said, by the way, he said, we have to clear the auditorium, but you tell your friends, call all your friends and tell them there'll be a free concert at midnight. Well, hello. There were so many kids in that you could not pack another person into that theater. But the fire marshals couldn't mess with us because we did what they wanted, And the record, the A&R guy, the RS relations guy, said to me, he says, man, he said, Chuck, I wish we would have recorded this concert. Because he played till, I don't know, my goodness, almost 4 o'clock in the morning. Same thing when we brought Pink Floyd into Milwaukee, the Milwaukee County Coliseum. Because it kept raining and stopped raining and raining and stopped.
They play you that long.
Oh, well, they did, yeah, because, they put on an incredible show.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So this is Dr.
Diana Ross. I don't like her.
You don't like her? Why?
Well, I had to go to...
She was beautiful.
So what? I'm
she
looking,
wasn't
I'm,
nice to
I'm
you?
I'm looking for inner beauty. Well, the problem was my boss told me to go to her concert, which I wouldn't have gone. I mean, I liked her and the Supremes, but I didn't like what happened to the Supremes. The fact that one of them died in poverty, you know, just complete abject poverty in a tenement house. You know, how did that happen, Diana? And so I had to wait for like an hour and a half standing outside of her dressing room with my little tape recorder, you know, to get her to do some station drops and stuff. And finally, they opened the door, and I walked in.
What are station drops?
Hi, this is Diana Ross, and you're listening to Big Ways, WAYS in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay.
You know, whatever. And hi, this is Diana Ross. Here's my latest song on Big Ways. And I had them all written down. Yeah, okay. It was a no-thought thing. Okay. And as I walked in, she took one look at me. She said, I don't want to talk to him. Get him out of here. And I'm like, excuse me? I waited an hour and a half for this? Well, guess what, honey? It's going to be a cold day in hell before I play another one of your songs on my show.
Well, that leads me to every time you watch these documentaries, how the DJs were like gods.
Back in those days, we were. We had a lot of influence. Big Ways Radio in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jay Thomas was working there doing mornings. I don't know if you know who Jay Thomas is. You ever watch Letterman?
Yes.
On the Christmas show?
Yeah.
The guy that throws the meatball. That throws the football with the meatball on top of the Christmas tree.
Okay.
And Jay got into acting and stuff. He was a great guy. But, yeah, Jay worked there, and I worked with some other great guys there. But Big Ways was a market, a test market, very strong in the nation. If we added a record, bam, everybody just about added it. So we had a lot of I danced with Dolly Parton. We had Dolly.
She's
on,
gorgeous too.
Oh, she's a sweetheart. We had her on tour. It was a meet Dolly dinner that people won. Our listeners won, and we were at the Hilton. And we were in a banquet room, and Dolly had the flu. She was on tour for the 9 to 5 tour, and she had the flu. She wasn't feeling good, and you could tell she was worn out. And there was a band playing, and my wife said she doesn't look. Why don't you give her? Ask her if she wants to dance. You know, she needs a break. I said, really? Yeah, sure, okay. What's she going to say? No. And I did. I said, excuse me, Miss Dolly. I said, you know, can I have a dance? And she just looked at me like, yes. Oh. And we danced two dances. And then when we were driving home, my ex says, it's too bad we didn't get a picture. And I thought, oh, yeah. But the next week, the radio, the A&R guy,
I could just, I'm picturing this dance.
He gave,
because Chuck, you're tall.
I know.
And she's little.
And she's little. She was wearing her high heels. But he gave me this big cardboard photo that he had made up. It was a picture of her and I dancing, and she had her head resting on my shoulders with her eyes closed. It was a great photo. And I even mailed it to her, and she autographed it and sent it back to me. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You still have it?
No, unfortunately, I left it in a storage locker somewhere in Chicago. Yeah, well, you move. And I got the chance to sing with Charlie Daniels in Jacksonville on stage, long-haired country boy. That was a thrill because I had him on the air with me that afternoon, and he was a great guy. I love Charlie, and he is a man of his word. And before, as he was leaving, I said to him, I said, Charlie, just do one thing for me. He said, what's that, son? And I started the cartridge for long-haired country boy. I said, just sing along with yourself on the cartridge. Just harmonize with yourself on the cartridge. He says, if you'll join me. I said, all right, I will. So I did. And it came out sounding pretty good. And so that night, we were at the concert, and I was standing backstage sitting on some speaker boxes, and all of a sudden, he busted into long-haired country boy, and I'm his road manager's next to me, and I'm going crazy. And he said to me, wait for it, wait for it. I said, what? And all of a sudden, Charlie gave me the nod. You know, come on out. So I ran out on stage and got to sing with long-haired country boy with him in front of all of his fans.
Oh, that's such a memory. That was such a
nice, it was, yeah, boy, yeah, it is. And that was such a nice thing for him to do. And I love Charlie Daniels. I really do. He's a great guy. He's a man of his word.
I think he had a place here in Punta Gorda, didn't he?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. So I wanted to ask you.
About the Tanya Tucker tattoo on my left shoulder blade?
No. I was going to ask you about the candle. All right. Anyone, I know you can't see this, but My wonderful guest, Chuck Britton, has a candle that he says he always has a candle.
In my studio.
In your studio.
I turn the lights down, you know, and how this started was we had unfortunately, she just left us last week to pursue a different job. Heidi, who puts out, she wore many hats here at the radio station.
Right.
And I walked in, when I first came here, and I walked into her office, and I said, it smells good in here. And she had a candle burning. So I thought, well, I'll start burning them in my studio. But I got to have like two of them going. Now, this morning we had bacon and sea breeze.
Bacon and sea breeze?
Yeah.
That doesn't go.
No, I know you'd think that would be a conflict of aromas, but... You know, if you smell it, you feel like you're actually eating bacon on the shore by the ocean.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We have a caller. Hi, caller.
Look, how are you? Look, Troy Dennis was here back in, I think, the early 80s at the old auditorium because I remember seeing his tour bus.
Okay, great. Thank you so
much. That was many years ago when he was much younger.
Who?
Charlie Daniels.
Oh, yeah, Charlie.
Thank you so much. That's interesting.
Yeah, I met Willie Nelson's tour bus.
Yes?
Yeah. I never met Willie.
Why? Wasn't he in it?
No, he was. Well, he might have been in it, but they wouldn't let me in.
Oh.
They had strict security back then. But I'm sure Willie and I would get along real well.
You know, I've told Chuck that one of the reasons I got in radio was an old show called WKRP in Cincinnati. And I think of Chuck as the real life Dr. Johnny Fever.
Please. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I did work in Cincinnati. And it was so weird because we started these, it was in the early 90s. And we started these Friday afternoon after work concerts. Our first band that we brought in was Badfinger.
Oh.
And yeah, I know. And it was so strange because we were in the whole quadrant area where the opening credits for WKRP by the fountain, you know, and it was so surrealistic because I'm standing there with all these business people, you know, taking off their ties and partying and watching this and looking at the fountain going, wow, I'm here. But my Dr. Johnny was a guy named Chuck Browning that I worked with in Phoenix. We worked out of a double-wide trailer in the middle of an Indian reservation in Guadalupe. And I used to literally... Yeah. But it was one of the best sounding... FM was just beginning to come in. And I was hired to work... I went from Augusta to an AM station, and I left the AM station. And I got sued for $2 million, which was good publicity for me, until they put my case together, and I beat my no-compete contract, and I went to work for KUPD. And, we went from about maybe 5,000 watts up to about 50,000 watts. And we were just screaming. And we owned that valley. And we beat our competition, a longtime AM station. And we did things. We were just the dirty half dozen. And I when I got a call from Chuck, he said, you know where we're located, right? And I says, yeah, you're in the downtown Ramada Inn. He says, no, he said, that's our sales office. He says, we're out off the interstate in Guadalupe. And I'm like, where? And I'm riding on my motorcycle I'm like, where is this place? Where is this station? And I'm thinking, well, let's look for the towers. So I see some towers, I'm heading for the towers. And I pulled up. Now, you got to picture six long-haired hippie guys all wearing one-way mirrored sunglasses. Gee, I don't know why.
Yeah.
And
we're not talking about that on this show.
No, it was a hot
I'm
sun.
Teasing.
It's Phoenix.
I'm teasing.
It's
I'm
the
teasing.
Valley of the Sun. And I pulled up on my motorcycle, you know, and I shut the bike down, and I'm looking at him, and Chuck just raised his glasses up, and he looked at me. He said, welcome home.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to take a pay cut to work there, which really threw my wife. She couldn't understand why I was doing that. But I said, I'm going to learn things here that I need to learn. And Chuck he looked exactly like Dr. Johnny Fever. But we literally spent 24/7 working at that radio station, tuning it, fine-tuning it. And boy, we owned the valley after about 6 months. But see, the Indians used to get liquored up on this big hill, and they'd shoot down at the trailer on Friday nights. So we had bullet
That's
holes.
Scary.
We had bullet holes in the trailer, And I used to wear, that's when I started wearing cowboy boots, leather suede boots, because I ride my bike and they had these wild dingo dogs that used to roam around the little town, little village there, and they used to bite my legs. So I'd have to literally kick the dogs off to get, and all due respect to the Animal Cruelty Society, I just nudged them just to get them off my leg to get to the radio station to get inside.
That sounds like a really rural area.
It was the Wild West, but inside we had a great studio. And just imagine playing Peaceful, Easy Feeling or Tequila Sunrise by the Eagles for the very first time.
Oh, my gosh.
And seeing the big orange sun coming up over the desert. You know, that was magic.
The desert is so beautiful. I love the desert.
I do, too.
I love the cigar cactuses and everything.
Yeah, but it's the heat.
The pink rocks. My husband and I used to go to Las Vegas a lot. And we'd go, I mean, I love that red rock canyon. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful. The desert's gorgeous. But Florida is beautiful here.
I love Florida. It's like a Stephen King novel. I don't know why, but I always find myself waking up back in Florida.
Now, what was this about missing your libido?
Oh, no, I was just kidding. I was promoting this as Sex Talk with Uncle Chuck and Dr. Triviana here. But no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good.
Because you know I do the hormone balancing, so that works great.
Right.
I have never seen such happy patients in all my life. It's amazing.
Well, you should see us at the VA. I've never had my hormones balanced, but...
And you know, one of the things they do, talking about veterans, is more and more the research is showing that many of the people who have traumatic brain injuries, mm-hmm. such as football players mm-hmm. or veterans, they become hormone deficient. And by balancing their hormones, it helps their whole well-being, and also they age better. So it's just really, really important.
Well, now you notice you're getting my attention. Do you do this with diet or meds?
Well, this is done. It's not a medication.
Not that I feel I need it.
No, but... I know. I'm just saying. What I do is I...
Just call me Sparky.
you know what Sparky is in Florida.
No. Did I punch the envelope?
Yeah, Sparky is the what they call the electric chair in Florida.
Oh yeah. That's old Sparky.
Oh, Sparky. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways,
but do you do it with medication or with a diet or both?
All right. What it is it's not a medicine because it's the exact same chemical that your body's not producing enough of.
Why? Why does your body stop producing testosterone?
It's part of the aging process.
Oh. Okay.
As we get older, things. Yeah. Why do our bones not the same as before?
What produces testosterone? Your brain?
No, your testicles.
Really?
Yes.
Well, same thing.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. You just left yourself wide open. You just left yourself wide open for that one. I've been waiting for that for 42 minutes. Bada-bing!
Bada-bing, oh my God. Well, is that which brain, right? Okay. And women's ovaries make estrogen and testosterone, too.
Oh, okay.
But wait till you hear the treatment. Wait till you hear how it's administered. It's cool.
And the adrenal glands also, there's... What the main thing is that I put under the skin these bioidentical hormone pellets. And
under the skin?
Under the skin. So it's absorbed, like your body absorbed from your testicles through your blood, like it absorbed from your ovaries.
Yeah.
And they last, for men, 6 to 7 months, women, 3 to 4 months.
Huh.
So it's not a drug. A drug is something foreign. I'm not giving something foreign to anyone. Hmm. I'm restoring them to previous.
How do you know if you need it?
It's based on blood test.
Okay.
I check the blood and also on symptoms. Because when I see a patient, to me, they're a total being.
Yeah.
All right. That's why on my radio show, I talk about, I mean, Zane, you've heard me say this, that your physical health is just as important as your sexual, mental, and spiritual health.
Well, it's the whole package.
Right. Yeah. But some people think, I'm going to get cured with a pill. Well, that's not the way it is.
No.
This is in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it does improve your health. It's kind of like calling it restorative medicine, helping you to age better, because hormone deficiency is one of the causes of aging, plus wear and tear. I mean, you know, patients go, well, I never had high blood pressure. I've never had diabetes. I said, well, you've never been 60 before.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 21, you didn't have that problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I notice people look at me stranger now when I stand up.
What do you mean?
Creaky bones, man.
Oh.
My knees.
But I have something special. Dr. Triana, tell Chuck where specifically the pellet is inserted under the skin.
In their tushy.
Okay, bend over.
Do we have to do it now? Well, what's a treatment like that cost? And do you do trade-outs?
Trade-outs.
No, I'm serious. What would a treatment like that cost?
Okay, well, for women, it costs $400.
Uh-huh.
So I tell them the average cost is about $100 a month.
Yeah.
For men, it's $700. Again, it lasts 6 to 7 months. So it's about $100 a month.
Yeah.
And it's not covered by insurance because it's natural. It's bioidentical natural.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a patent, see, you can't patent.
So I couldn't use my Medicare for this.
No.
Why am I?
Well, Medicare.
Why do I even have Medicare? Seriously. See, I got A and B, so they deduct, you know, $150 a month or something out of for my B plan. But yet I got the VA, which is my primary care.
You have the VA.
Yeah.
I have a lot of patients who have VA.
I have a smaller tattoo on my back and a bracelet that says, if you find me anywhere on the floor, just haul me to the VA and drop me off. Let them take care of it.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yes, I have now.
What are the primary signs of a lack of testosterone? Do you feel like lethargic all the time or what?
Lethargic, you get.
Have no sex drive.
Decreased libido. Your muscles become atrophied as they get smaller as you get older.
Yeah, yeah.
You also can get brain fog.
Brain fog. That's like when you walk in the kitchen and you wonder why you're there.
Yeah. But maybe a little worse.
Yeah.
Also, maybe you need a good balance of hormones in order for erectile dysfunction.
Uh-huh.
It'll help. It doesn't always, because erectile dysfunction also can be caused by a plumbing problem.
Yeah.
But those nerves in order, because we had a whole program on this, those nerves in the penis need the hormone in order to get the ball rolling so that a man can get an erection.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, sister. And you know, I've noticed there seems to be an extra amount of Viagra commercials lately.
Well, they make a lot of money doing that.
Do they? Wasn't that originally a heart medication?
Yes, it was. Because it's a vasodilator. It opened up your blood vessels, and they were using it for people who had heart problems.
Uh-huh. And it's probably the only medication that actually had a good side effect. You know, as opposed to the disclaimers. I love the disclaimers. May cause, blindness, loss of memory, yada, yada, you know.
Oh, or, yes.
And really, has anybody ever called their doctor to complain that they had
never.
For 4 hours? Nah, I don't
An
think
erection.
So. This has been, well, you said it, not me.
Okay. I'm so happy that you've been here, Chuck. You are great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Actually, you're fabulous.
Thank you. You're fabulous, too. I will give you a candle, my dear.
No, just give me some lessons on how to be a radio star.
No,
that's what I want.
We don't have enough time.
I'm a good student. I'm smart.
Okay, we'll see.
This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana, the Dr. Triana Show. Thank you.
CCF, Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio.